yes, I am. That's what I do. I lick in your feet.
Is Jamie licking your feet, not me, just for the listener, because we are a recording. Oh, and a yawn. That's a new record for Kelly. Yawn within the first 0.4 seconds of the podcast.
I've had a coffee. Maybe I should have another one.
I've had a coffee. That's why I'm yawning all the time.
Have I had my Ritalin today?
Do you find as you get older that coffee
doesn't work as well?
Yeah.
I think it's like, well, because what I did is I would usually have like 2 cups of coffee a day, and I've cut down to the 1 so that I become less desensitized to it. You know, like I feel like it eventually over time, you know what I mean? Like, So then when I do have that second, it's like pow, right in the kisser.
I just don't enjoy it as much either. I feel like, I mean, when we were teenagers, I mean, I know coffee existed before we were teenagers.
Long time ago when we were teenagers.
The cafe culture really in Melbourne was really starting, like had gone from like a, it had gone mainstream by the time we were teenagers, right?
Way before a Mac Cafe. Like when Mac Cafe come in,
well, that was late 90s, wasn't it?
Well, there was no Mac Cafe in any McDonald's I worked at. No, I worked in the 90s.
No, but we were late. We were in our late teens by the end of the late 90s, and that's when McCafe. So we, like, from the beginning of the 90s to the end of the 90s, there was a complete change in the way coffee and cafes existed in the consciousness of Australians. Don't you think that's fair to say?
Yeah.
That, like, when we were 10 years old, cafes barely existed. I remember my dad taking me to a cafe when we were, like, 13 and 10. We went to Rumbarella's in Brunswick Street. Remember Rumbarella's?
Yeah.
And we met a couple of his friends there. And I just remember thinking it was the coolest thing in the world. I just thought it was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's when I fell in love with Brunswick Street. I was, like, 13 years old. I'm like, when I grow up, I'm going to live here. Because it was just like, it was proper Fitzroy. Like, it was full of freaks and, but like colorful and vibrant. I remember Rumbarella's was just like purple and pink and yellow and like.
This is so different from Glenroy.
It was though. Like, it was the complete opposite.
Yeah, I didn't drink coffee. My dad was a big coffee drinker. I didn't drink coffee. And I was always a Red Bull. So it took me a while before the cafe culture.
Hang on. Red Bull.
Yeah, I used to drink a Red Bull, a sugar-free Red Bull in the morning, and that would buck me up. And yeah, it wasn't until I lived in America that I started. There was something like one day I was like, "Huh."
Renowned
and I had a coffee with what?
Renowned for their great coffee and chocolate, yeah, America.
Because I worked at a cafe thing,
right?
And I had
so you'd get it for free and stuff.
Yeah, so I had a coffee, and then I remember I started with almond milk because I was like, I have a latte with almond milk. And then just quite quickly I went from almond milk latte to black.
Yeah.
Like got rid of the milk, sugar. I remember doing black coffee and then putting sugar in it and then just, we're done. We're out of this.
New York pot of black coffee.
Yeah, filtered is the best. I actually feel like when I have filtered coffee – in that way, that coffee actually bucks me up way more than espresso. So, I don't know. Do you want to just turn around and check on that dog?
What about Nespresso? Does that do anything?
Nah, no Nespresso. I just want to make sure.
She's fine. She's just playing.
Oh, good. Because I could hear her doing something and I just thought maybe she was destroying a fucking shoe.
The thing that I've learned about Jamie is if you ignore her and we don't make super loud noises, she'll eventually go to sleep.
Yeah.
As soon as you leave the house, this is a puppy update, by the way. We've mentioned it in the last couple of episodes, right? That we've got a rescue here, Jamie, and she's ready for adoption. So check out Kelly's socials for that.
She's her name on socials is Nesta,
but we call her Jamie.
Call her Jamie.
Because Nesta's a shit name.
Yeah.
This is, should we just watch it real quick? I am one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 7 years of naming dog school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner is the Raging Cajun. It's the woman who will literally rip your bloody arms off like Arnie Jack.
Fucking,
it's Kelly. big whoop. Want to fucking fight about it for Stuka.
Just me. Want to fight about it.
So dog talk, coffee talk, that's pretty much our two areas of expertise. The other thing we do a lot of in this house is watch stuff.
Yeah.
What have you been watching? Actually, you know what? I've got a question. Because we haven't done these for a bit. And if you have a question for us that like relates around movies and TV shows, write in, let us know. We've had some very nice comments, but no questions. So
yeah,
get them in.
What's your question?
What is the most fun? What's the film that you saw with friends where you had the most fun?
At the cinema?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a movie with friends at a cinema in years. However, I did see before your time. I
expected it to be an example from teenage, like when you.
Yeah. Well, the last time I went to see.
Trying to get more than one friend to be anywhere in the same room.
I don't want to see anyone.
In your 40s.
I just want to hibernate when you're left alone.
It's a 6-month undertaking to try and get four friends.
Because we're at that age now where people have better things to do, like, you know, family, kids, jobs, and stuff.
But it always makes me wonder, like, did we actually really like each other that much when we were younger, or were we just like?
Yeah, I think we just we just had the time, you know. So this was pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching, was it fucking Endgame? I can't remember which Marvel. It could have been the last one.
Oh, Avengers Endgame. Yeah, I've completely lost. Yeah,
because that would have been around 18, 19, right?
What were the last two called? Endgame and
Endgame
Infinity
was
War, right? Was it Infinity
Endgame
War?
Was the last Endgame? One.
But there were two parts to the last movie that were called different things.
Yeah, there was the one where it ends with Thanos clicking his fingers, mm-hmm. and then there's the one where he doesn't click his fingers. So it's that one, the one where he doesn't,
it's either
the last one.
Or Thanos clicks his fingers or Iron Man clicks his fingers.
Correct, Amundo. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it's the Iron Man one.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. Fuck, I don't – yeah, anyway – but, yeah, it was a big group of us. How's this for name dropping? So it was – I remember it was Celia.
Oh, here we go.
Luke McGregor.
Uh-oh.
Fuck, Kaya. Reese Nicholson.
Oh.
Kieran Wheatley.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Kelly Fistiga.
And Nazeem.
Nazeem.
Yeah. Hello. And Nazeem had to leave with half an hour to go because he had a gig.
Oh, what?
It was early. It was like a 5 o'clock movie.
Nazeem, the good guys win.
Yeah, but I think I just remember it was like a thing where it was just funny because we went early and no one else had gigs, but yeah, he was just like, and he was texting during the movies to try and like get out of it. And but yeah, and he was like, oh fuck, I gotta go, sorry guys. But I think we went because McGregor is a massive, well, he's massive and the rest of us are kind of into it, but he can't, I think that was his facilitation. So that was before any of us got married. Before Kieran and Reese got married, before we met.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would have been, but it was pre-pandem. So, it would have been, 18, 19.
No babies, no marriages.
No. So, that was the last time. And that was pretty fun, but it's pretty funny waiting in line.
That was 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking it was pretty up. Fun waiting in line, though, because it's like just watching regular people waiting in line going, and the group of people it was, no one's like, you know, Hemsworth famous, but people are pretty famous. And it's just funny watching people going, is that – like they can't place people. Like some people will kind of go, oh, that's, you know, so-and-so, that's so-and-so. But it's just so funny. Like you can tell like someone's like, I'm pretty sure that person's on the ABC. Is that
– yeah, yeah.
That? And it's really cute.
Especially someone like Reese who has kind of like a stage costume. He's always very sharply dressed, like in a suit of some kind.
Mm.
But when you see him in real, like most of the time in real
he's
life,
he's wearing just slacks and a shirt.
He's just wearing normal clothes.
So he,
but he has that like Bowie red hair. So it's like you notice him, but it takes a while to like for your brain to click in of like, oh yeah, that's
I feel like, it's funny. I feel like maybe because at the time it also depends what's on TV at the time. So I reckon there was probably a bit of Rose, especially Luke and Celia together when Rosehaven is on TV.
Yeah.
When they're out together is always quite funny.
Yeah.
Because it's never like people like, eh. It's always people going, they're just staring because they can't figure out like, you know, like they're like, I just, is that,
it's so strange.
Is that, that's the guy Or it's like, yeah, a utopia thing. Anyway, but it's quite funny. But before that, I don't even know. Like, I do remember seeing Scream in like 1995 at the cinemas with a bunch of mates.
I have got a story about Scream.
Right, and let me just finish this one quickly. It's Saturday night, 8 o'clock showing.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of us teenagers go see it. It was packed, sold out, so we were at the front. And it was the first time I went and saw a movie where people were actually screaming in the cinema, like, you know, like when a shock happened, like, So I remember that. And I also remember seeing Cruel Intentions with mates and we all going, ew, when they started, the girls started making out. And you see the saliva. Anyway, you go, what's your Scream
story? Well, I was going to say Cliffhanger. There were a bunch of us who went and saw Cliffhanger at Northlands.
It's a cliffhanger.
I remember Jared Higgins. Jared, if you're listening, hey, man. Jared Higgins' mum, Carmel, had a 7-seater four-wheel drive and she drove 6 of us out to Northland. What a fucking thankless job that is being a mum. But anyway, so she drives us out to Northland. We go watch Clifford. We just had the best time. And you know what? Like, I watched it during the pandemic. It's a fun movie. Like, I can understand now why. Like,
Cliffhanger?
Yes. It's John Lithgow's the bad guy. Sylvester Stallone, obviously.
Oh, it's a bad guy like that. I totally watch that movie.
It's over the top. It's so insane. Sylvester Stallone's meant to be from Colorado. He's meant to be a mountain guy. He's lived there his whole life. You know what I mean?
I was born in
these mountains.
That's funny.
But when you said Scream, I was like, oh, fuck, I can't believe I haven't told this story on the podcast before. Me, my best mate / best man / guy that I go to with everything, Lucas, him and I and our two girlfriends at the time, I won't say their names just in case, I don't know, maybe they don't want to be associated with the two of us. But anyway, we were both seeing girls and we went it wasn't at North End, it was like out near Epping somewhere. We watched Scream. I'm not usually a horror guy. And but I enjoyed this film. And we go to the toilets. Lucas is at the, like, afterwards we have to go to the toilet. Lucas is at the urinal. And I thought it would be really funny to walk up to him while he's pissing and be like, do you like scary movies? And he fucking pissed all over the place. He's like, you fucking arsehole. But that's not the end of the story. And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. We get in the car. My girlfriend met us there, so she gets in her car and drives off. She had to go somewhere. I don't know. I can't remember why she wasn't in the car. But Lucas's girlfriend, Lucas, me, are in her car driving home. And as you drive out of the cinema, there's a red light there, but there's nothing else. There's nothing. Like, there's fields on one side, fields on the other. Out of fucking nowhere, a guy in full Scream killer, like Scream ghost outfit, jumps out of these fucking trees, runs up to the car and goes, ba 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 ba,
no
on
way.
The window.
Who is this guy?
And we freak the fuck out. We're like,
who is this guy? This is not
the
okay.
Lights turn green and Lucas says to his girlfriend, fucking go.
That's awful.
We drive so quickly away from it and we're like hyperventilating. We all think that we've had like a shared hallucination, right? Because it's not. And then eventually we like calm down, we get closer back to Essendon where we lived, and we worked out like it must have been a bunch of dudes who had like got a Scream mask or something.
What's and we're so just mean
and we're just like scaring people. He might not have even had a proper Scream mask on. It might have just been like a white mask or he had painted. But it all happened so quickly. He had like a big black cloak. He had a big black cloak on and a white face of some description and like just jumped out of these bushes and bumped, like, you know, and like screamed at us. And we were fucking terrified.
That's a true story.
That is a true story that can be absolutely verified by, well, at least one person, because, you know, neither of us date those two girls anymore.
Like, so guys were just
waiting
around.
How fucking terrifying is that?
How funny.
It's hilarious, but also terrifying.
It's actually hilarious because there's a bunch of dudes that are like, so we got a Scream mask. And what we used to do is we used to go to like some like cinema way, 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 way out. Like, I don't know. Do you remember?
It might have been Scream 2.
Was it Knox Westland? And it doesn't matter. Anyway, so the point is that we used to go into the car park after the cinema, we'll play the movie and scare guys in their cars.
They're fucking scared. And, like, I've never believed in karma more because I feel like that was the universe going, well, you were a cunt to your best friend and scared him in the in the toilets, so we scared you 10 times more on the drive home.
That's pretty good. The commitment of those fuckheads, that's pretty great.
Well, if you live out in Epping, you probably don't have much else to do, right? We grew up in Broadmeadows, and I know we didn't have much more than that to do. What are you watching? I noticed walking in here a few times, there are a few Everest documentaries.
Nothing. I've just been rewatching a bunch of – oh, man, this bloody dog is really pushing her limits while we're recording. Hey, get out of there. Good girl, good girl. She wanted to go behind the TV where there's a bunch of wires. Good girl, good girl. Hey, maybe we should get her another carrot. Anyway, I've been rewatching Doctor Who. What have I been doing? Rewatching Doctor Who, and there's a Amazon Prime has a bunch of terrible documentaries, and then they're not really well made, or they're very old, or it's like maybe it's just that they're old. Anyway, there's a documentary about Everest because people who know me know that I have three Roman empires. One is Everest. Second is Chernobyl, and the third is the Uruguayan team eating people on the mountain. So, yeah, it was just a documentary. But the thing is, I didn't realize it. It was just a shitty documentary on Prime. And then when I started watching it, it was 100% all about the 96 Everest expedition where Rob Hall and Steve Fisher died, which is one of the most famous stories. It's the one with Beck Weathers. Got, you know, left for dead and survived, lost his hands. It's a pretty incredible story. What have you been watching?
I watched The Wild Bunch, which is a Sam Peckinpah film. He directed Straw Dogs. He's kind of like a precursor to Brian De Palma, Quentin Tarantino, like very very visual striking. Very visual director, but like big into violence and stuff.
Ernest
like that
Borgnine's
well,
right? in it.
Ernest Borgnine's in it. This is one of those films where like it literally has a Metascore of like 97 or something fucking insane like that. It's a film that like is revered by film nerds and film students and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
When I was at film school, I don't know if I've mentioned it before. I had to do a whole semester of watching Westerns for this particular subject, and I watched like 19 Westerns, and I hated them before school, before uni.
Mm-hmm.
I doubly hate them now. I think they're so boring. I think they're so self-indulgent. I think they actually show Americans think that they're like using soft power through these films.
Mm.
Some of these films, like Peckinpah, is trying to explore the end of the West and what it actually meant to be a cowboy and all that kind of stuff, and sort of showing like, oh, all these people were awful. But then my whole thing is like, well, then why am I watching a 2.5-hour film about a cast of 20 awful people? Also, Peckinpah's like been accused of like a whole bunch of like sexual misconduct and misogyny towards people. This film is just long and arduous and boring. There's two major set pieces at the beginning of the film and the end of the film that people rave about, and then there's like 2 hours of nothing. The cast is, you know, they're all good actors. They've all done good stuff. No one jumps off the screen for me here. To me, Westerns is like country music. Like you either get it and love it, or if you don't, you look at it and go, oh god, it's so backwards and boring. And I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like boring middle-aged men like Westerns. It's all the shit that they like, you know, because it's an era where you can portray men as being in charge, women get treated like shit, men can sort out their problems by just shooting guys in the head, you
it's
know
a,
like,
it's something of the Americana of it. Where, you know, like Americans are like the good old days, American.
Yeah,
it's
you know, that's
shit.
When we were free as a people. Yeah. You know? And it's like, well, it does represent America. It represents everything that's wrong with America. Violence, selfishness, greed. Like, you know, everybody was out there because there was a gold rush. And, you know, people, it gets painted as this thing of like, oh, well, people were just trying to be free and get their own land and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, they were seagulls. They were human seagulls out there like, trying to fucking make their fortune, you know? And, like, that is embedded in the DNA of America that exists today.
Mm.
And as soon as I see it portrayed on screen, I'm just like, ah, yawn, boring. I don't – even if it's being somewhat deconstructed in a film like The Wild Bunch, I'm still like it just bores me. And, like, it's getting a second wind now because Quentin talked about it on his podcast. Mm. So because Quentin talks about it, all his neckbeard disciples go off into the world and talk about how great – The Wild Bunch is, but in reality, it's not a great film.
Mm.
You know, it's too long. There's no hooks, you know, for me. Like, why do I, like, I know I'm very black and white about this, but if I don't have a protagonist that I give one fuck about, they don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be Clark Kent. But if they're absolutely atrocious, like they have a gunfight around children in the first three minutes of the film.
Mm.
Like, children get killed, women get killed, and they're at their hand.
Mm.
And you're like, well, I understand the director's trying to show what it was really like in the Old West, but it also immediately makes me go, well, fuck these guys, who cares?
So no more Westerns.
I just, unless it's Young Guns, no.
no Blaze of Glory, no Quick and the Dead.
McCabe and Mrs. Miller is one of my favorite films of all time, and that is a Western.
I've never seen that
movie. It's one of Robert Altman's first films. Has Warren Beatty, Julia Davis in it. It's an amazing film. But it's that film is saying essentially what I'm saying about the West, and that, like, this is a period of America's
Julie
history.
Julie Christie's in it.
Yeah, Julie Christie. What did I say? Julia Davis.
Yeah.
Julia Christie, yeah, sorry. It's an amazing film. I think it's maybe the best cinematography
and
I've ever
Shelley
seen.
Shelley Duvall. I need to watch this. I haven't seen this movie.
It's the most beautiful, that and Lost in Translation are the two films that are, like, just shot
so. Lost in Translation, really?
That are just shot so beautifully that it doesn't even really matter what's happening in the film. I could just sit there and watch it, you know, like, just
really?
This. Yeah, the cityscapes of Tokyo are just so beautiful. Like, I just.
I found that with Call Me By My Name. It was shot so beautifully. Like, really just, you feel like you're, really did. Establish, and it was in that slow, you know, really just establishing, like, shots of a tree, da da da, building up to stuff. Anyway, so let's talk about the first thing we watched.
Which one is
that? Go. You go, you choose.
We'll talk about After Midnight first. So, we've watched maybe 5 or 6 episodes of After Midnight, which is the reboot of At Midnight, which was hosted by Chris Hardwick. This is now produced by Stephen Colbert, his production company, hosted by, is it Taylor Tomlinson?
Taylor Tomlinson, whose stand-up is great.
Yeah.
She's really great. There's so many, I don't know, I just feel like her voice is just really, sometimes when you get too many comedians of the same era together, I feel like everyone sounds the same, like everyone jokes about the same stuff. But then every once in a while you get someone who has just does jokes about different stuff that makes them, like, I could name 10 female comedians right now that have the same voice. You know what I mean? Like Whitney Cummings, Eliza Schlesinger, whatever her name is, Nikki Glaser. Like I feel like they all sound really similar.
Mm.
And they're all really funny and they all work really hard, mad respect. But, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, like if I watch the special, I'm like, oh, it was good. But her stuff is, along the same vein, but, like, just kind of funnier.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, she just, I feel like the same way about Shane Gillis. Like, there's a lot of guys like Shane Gillis out there and a lot of people don't like him, whatever, but I find him really funny, man. You know what I mean? I feel like his point of view and his voice is very unique, even though from afar he looks the same. Same with Taylor. And also what I like about her hosting the show is she wears pants.
Yeah.
She wears every single episode she's wearing a pant. And I feel like, because whenever I watch when Seals hosts Thank God You're Here, she does the same thing.
Yeah.
And I actually really enjoy watching a chick who's hot as guts, funny as all fuck, hosting a show wearing pants.
Mm.
I know that sounds wild, but everyone's always wearing a dress as a chick. And as someone who barely wears a dress, I love seeing chicks looking really hot in fun fucking pants with a, you know, with a fun jacket. Like the other day she was wearing a silk suit. Then another time she was wearing a leather jacket hosting. I was like, fuck, this is cool. Anyway, I was a big fan of At Midnight. And this show is good. Should be half an hour though. It's an hour. Should be half an hour. I don't know where people can watch it. We've got funny ways to watch it, but it's too long. It should be half an hour, just like the other one. And then we're there, it can be tighter. And it also really depends who's on it. I feel like if the people aren't good on it, it's not a good episode. So I don't know. You tell me what you think.
It feels very safe. It feels super safe. It's on network TV over in the States. It's on CBS. So, like, it's replaced James Corden's show.
Good. Thank fuck. I'm going to watch this show every day.
Yeah, okay. So that's good. But what it means is that because of the time slot it's in, it can't be – when it was on Comedy Central, like, it's on cable, it's on a comedy channel, like, you have to seek it out. And so it would be more risque. And I don't mean in the sense of, like – I mean risque in the sense of, like, you can't say anything anymore. Like, just in the sense of, like, it would be more adult. You know, there would be more adult stuff and more adult themes, you know. Like, this feels safer than, like, I can't even think of a show. I can't even think of a panel show that's, like, safer than this. It's very like, it's strange because it's on At Midnight, but it feels very family friendly, which is weird. And to me, no comedy person or comedian has fallen in my estimations as much as Stephen Colbert in the last 10 years. Jon Stewart's gone up in my estimations and Stephen Colbert's gone down. Well, just in the sense of, like, I think he does an okay job of hosting, you know, I mean, he's taken over from Letterman, the big shoes to fill. I think he does an okay job. But I think what, for me personally, what I discovered was that the character that he played, Colbert, was hilarious and he was great at it, and him on his own is pretty safe, pretty Christian, pretty boring stuff. If I have to hear him talk about Lord of the Rings or his faith one more time on that show, I'll fucking scream.
Yeah.
And that, like, that, it just feels like his fingerprints are all over this version of the show. It just feels like safe and boring and meh.
I think,
and it's a shame. Sorry, it's a shame because there are people on the episodes that I've watched, there's people that I love, like Rob Hubel, John Gabris, Paul F. Tompkins, Maria Bamford. I fucking love Maria Bamford.
Yeah, she was great. But, like,
and other people who I haven't heard of before who've come on, who've done funny stuff. It's not awful. It just, I feel like it has so much potential to be so much better. And I agree with you. An hour is way too fucking long for a comedy parody.
For panel show. You know,
like panel show, quiz show thing.
Should be half an hour, and I feel like I hear what you're saying and I agree, but I reckon if they just let this show go and let it do season two, season three, and then really start letting it find its feet, I think it will get there and it will be great.
So
they just need to leave it alone and just let it grow.
I just don't think that's going to happen in the time slot and on the station that it's on, because people who have tried to do different stuff in those time slots on late night, in inverted commas, people like, I mean, the fact that Conan stayed on TV for as long as he did was a small miracle in itself, and it was only because people like Letterman went into bat for him that that happened. Craig Ferguson, from the minute he was on, they wanted to get him off. You know what I mean? Because he was doing such fucking wild, crazy shit. It was the most interesting late night had been for decades, basically since Letterman had started. And the minute they got the opportunity to get him off fucking TV, they did. I mean, he hosts Wheel of Fortune or Family, well, not Family Feud.
I don't know.
Supermarket
Sweep.
Price is Right. Maybe it's that.
No, I thought that Drew Carey hosts that.
Maybe Supermarket Sweep. It's something like that.
Okay.
You know, he's just taken the money and run. Good. But so I don't think that what I'm saying is, like, I agree with you, but I just don't think that will be given that leeway to be like, we're wild and Zach. Like, You just got to look at SNL now. SNL's on at 11 p.m. on Saturday night.
It is such a...
And having watched some old episodes of it and how loosey-goosey it was in the 70s, and again, this isn't me going, oh, you could say whatever you wanted. Like, this isn't me being libertarian about it and saying you can't say anything anymore. I just mean in the sense of, like, it's so... It feels like the jokes are written as if a 14-year-old's going to hear them. You know what I mean? Or, like... It feels like the joke writing is like, well, we've got to hit all four quadrants, so make sure it's, you know what I mean?
You can still be funny and still press boundaries and be, and you know. But I feel like, I reckon this show will get there. But this is why I'm so interested to see Shane Gillis on SNL, because after the controversy with they hired him, then fired him, and now they've come back and he's hosting it, there's no way the sketches from his episode, which I think – filmed last night, there's no way it's not going to be teetering on a board. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be, I don't know. I'm really curious to see it. If it's going to be cookie cutter, I just don't think he'd do it.
Maybe his monologue will be, you know, him. But at the end of the day, the sketches are going to be written by the same people who wrote the sketches the week before that.
But also, did you watch
his... And they'll be boring and lame.
He had a sketch online. He had an online sketch show and I watched... I can't remember if I showed you some of them. But
you did, yeah.
It was like there was a whole sketch where there was a support group for like creepy uncles.
Mm.
And it was so funny, like when the way he comes in and they kind of talk to him like they're slow and they're like, what you got there, Derek? What you got? What t-shirt you wearing? He's like, we're a t-shirt with a wolf on it.
yeah.
Know what I mean? Like, and then it's like, okay, it's like, and they're showing them like Instagram pictures of like, you know, chicks in bikinis and they're like, what do you do? And he's like, tell her that she's really beautiful. No, she's 15. What do you do? Don't see anything. Yay! it was just really different. It was really good. I don't know.
I think
I'm curious. I can't wait.
The bits and pieces of After Midnight that I think have really sung is like, we watched an episode last night that John Gabris was on. I am biased. I love the Action Boys. I love John. But he's a fantastic improviser and he kind of just took over the show for like 2 minutes.
And he was funny and he wasn't like teetering on any border or anything.
No.
He was funny.
He's just sort of being silly and lovely and stuff.
So funny and is so achievable.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. When it's more, it's so tight and rigid, you know, it feels like, and now's the time to be funny. Go, stop. You know, like... If it just was a bit more loosey-goosey and, like, they weren't so fucking worried about getting their dumb games happening and all that sort of thing, it would be a much more fun...
He's funny.
...much more interesting show. It's the same problem that every fucking podcast on earth has now, that, like, producers have come in. Like, every podcast has a producer now and they have to hit all their dumb segments and shit. Mm. And it's boring and lame and tedious and no comedy comes from that. Like, when you just allow funny people to be funny, that's so much more interesting. Mm. That's so much more human. And I've watched 4 or 5 episodes. I haven't hated it. Will I watch any more? Probably not. I don't know. Like, if I hear from other people, like, oh, actually, it's going really good, then maybe. But if I was living in the States and was just on at midnight, I would watch it. But
it's definitely one of those shows that when I would come home from gigs, it would be on and I'd watch it as a, you know, sit down.
To fall asleep too, yeah.
Well, yeah, just to calm down. Like, it was when I lived with Ben and Jeff, we would watch Family Feud.
The
and
ice cream guys.
Hmm?
They were your friends who made ice cream, right?
Ben
and Jeff.
Ben and Jerry's. Oh, I get it. That's funny.
Jesus Christ. We are not on the same wavelength today. We're like yelling at each other.
That's not a funny joke.
Is it? No, I don't know. Probably not.
I had to.
Well, now that we're absolutely dissecting it to death,
search for it. Anyway, but yeah, we used to watch that. Like, yeah, they would be stoned on the couch and I'd get home.
Making ice cream.
Anyway, I think I'll give 3.5 grumps.
I'm giving it 2.5.
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see who else gets on it, find its feet. They've just got to make it half an hour, man.
It's not awful. Half an if hour. It comes on the bin, we're using a full thingy. We're using a VPN to watch it. So, you know, whatever. But if it comes on the binge, I assume it probably will. It might even show up on Channel 10 because CBS owns Channel 10. So maybe it'll show up there on. Have you seen Channel 10's thing recently?
What? It's been
like their app?
No.
They've like teamed up with this thing called Pluto TV, and Channel 10 now essentially has like 50 channels.
Ah, really?
Yeah. Not on free. If you go on free-to-air TV, it doesn't, but if you go into the Channel 10 app, there's like, they'll have like a South Park channel. They'll have like a Judge Judy channel.
Oh,
they'll
really?
Have like, yeah, and they're just playing episodes.
Is there commercials?
Like, yeah. Yeah, of course. That's how they make their money.
Okay. So they're just playing. Okay, so I'll watch Judge Judy.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I feel like someone's going to make an app, like a TV app soon that will essentially go back to the way TV was, where, like, they'll have their app, but there's a channel that you watch. There were, like, movie apps that did that where it was, like, you didn't get to choose. You would just, like, hit the app and whatever they were playing at that time you would watch. Mm. Which obviously didn't succeed because everyone's like, I want to watch what I want to watch now. Mm. But I think there is a market for people who are like, they just want to chuck something on and have it on in the background.
Mm.
Channel 10, we're on in the background.
Yeah, sometimes we don't want to be left alone with our thoughts. Anyway, so that's
never.
Good.
I never want to be left alone with my thoughts. The other thing we watched is Curb Your Enthusiasm. I feel bad. Did I actually yell at you earlier in the episode? I don't feel like I yelled at you. I feel like I was like, can we?
I feel like we both have different tones in our voice.
Mm-hmm.
And your tone is, can I just? And my tone is, 1 second.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We'll
You've
see.
You've got a tone that I go, ugh. Oh, well, we'll just see what people say once you fucking release the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe I'll just
And
cut
you have
it
to
out.
Live with it.
Maybe
live
I'll just
with
cut
the
it
way
out
you
completely.
Fucking are. Anyway. Curb. We watched season 12 of Curb. Man, I fucking love Curb. Shut up, naysayers, haters, at me. I don't give a fuck. The minute I start watching it and Tracy Ullman's character comes down the stairs and she's so fucking annoying, I am just up for it.
Mm.
It's just the minute she just comes down and he's just like, will you stop singing? She's like, I can't get it out of my head. And then he goes to have lunch with Jeff and Susie. And Susie's like, I'm physically ill. I'm so hungry. I'm starving. Larry, you're not nice the best of times. And I'm like, yes. And then he just goes to JB Smoove. And JB's like, you know, I don't butt dial. I dick dial. My dick. Boop, 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 boop. Order a pizza. Man, can my dog. Dude, I'm just like A+. Plus. The ending of this episode was dumb and sucked. And I thought, felt like they it was a long bow, but I fucking love Curb, man. It's so good.
Yeah, the ending. I too am a massive Larry David fan. I loved Curb when Curb first appeared. We all, you know, bought the DVDs and stuff and would binge watch it. I loved Curb. Watched it a second time, watched it a third time. We started watching it again. I actually found the first season really frustrating to watch.
Mm.
I really dislike Cheryl, the character. Like, just dislike her because she's constantly like, you're an idiot, Larry. Why are you doing this, Larry? Blah, blah, blah. And I understand that, like, she is there to, like, cause conflict and all that sort of thing. But I just – something about her and that actress really annoy me.
I'm having a look to see if she's actually in this season. I don't think she is because she's gone or...
No, she's got her husband is running for president, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And he's like
he's
an anti-vaxxer.
A full anti-vaxxer psycho.
Yeah, he's a fucking
psycho. So, yeah, you would be wanting to distance yourself from that crazy circus as much as possible. But there is, like I was saying to you last night, Bob, like as I've gotten older, I care less for the farce side of it. So this episode we watched, which was, it's the last season 12, the first episode. There's a whole bunch of Larry stuff where, like, he gets off on the wrong foot with his house cleaner in this hotel. she thinks that he's a slob. That ends up with him like putting a tip on the bathroom counter, and then he blow dries his hair, and the money goes in the toilet.
It's great.
And then she sees the money in the toilet, thinks that he's done it purposely, and is like, "You fucking asshole!" So then she grabs all his clothes and throws them off the balcony into a tree. As he's walking back up to the hotel, he's like, "What are you doing?" That stuff, like, is, you know, it's fun. I mean, he loves Mel Brooks. He, like, it's very, like, French farce, like, 60s French farce as well, of, like, misunderstandings and people walking in and out of rooms and stuff like that. But, yeah, the stuff that I really love, and I loved it in Seinfeld the most, and I love it in Curb, is the conversational stuff. It's, I think, so, like, good. And I know that in Curb, you know, Seinfeld, it was written. In Curb, it's improvised. But I could listen, now that Curb is finishing up, can we please petition for Larry and JB Smooth to do a podcast?
Oh, man, it's so fun.
I just want them to do a podcast. And no guests. I don't want any fucking guests. Don't ruin the podcast like Conan's podcast. They generally get along
and like each other, because there was a time where JB was like, he was like, he annoyed Larry. Now he can tell, like, the only person he can really stomach is him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they just look. Just
in the show or in the real life?
No, no, in the show. Like. You like them when they're at the airport and he's fat shaming the dog. Like, they're always on the same, they're always on the same wavelength.
Genuinely fucking hilarious. So there's another, like, so the crossover from season 11 is that Larry's written a show called Young Larry, which is having a go at young Sheldon.
Yeah.
And there's just this dead shit
actress who only got the role because I can't even remember why, but it was her father owned a Mexican restaurant and he goes, "Fine, I'll let your daughter audition."
Mm.
And then she was terrible. She couldn't act and she was terrible. And she's a real, yeah, she's just awful. I can't remember why, but they had to give her the part. And they were like, "Don't worry, the show won't get picked up." And like the first scene of this season is that the show is not only a hit, but this actress who was terrible, blah, 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 she's an absolute darling. Like, she's on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
People, everywhere they go, people want photos.
She's the breakout star. She's the Sheldon of, you know, like, Big Bang Theory.
Like, yeah, but it's like the whole, I just love, and just like Larry's face where he's like, can't people see that she's.
He hates the show. He hates her.
Yeah, because she's insufferable.
Yeah, he's caught in a web of his own making because he can't just fucking be honest with people, which is the crux of the whole show.
But then he's so honest with some people.
But
so
she
so
has
weird.
This support dog, which I thought, like, the setup for this was kind of like, oh, Jesus Christ, talk about comedy from 15 years ago, support dogs. But then they take it in this completely different angle where, like, the dog is overweight because she's constantly feeding it. And then JB Smooth and Larry just start fat shaming the dog, which is calling it fat, a fat bitch. And she's like, "You can't stop fat shaming my dog." And they're like, "He doesn't have a consciousness." Like, it is, you know, and then, like, throughout the whole episode, you just get little bits and pieces of JB Smooth calling the dog, because they go on this sort of road trip together. JB Smooth keeps, like, calling the dog fat throughout the episode. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, he's not a very likable person, and I feel like you're very anti unlikable leads.
But 50% of the time I agree with Larry.
Mm.
So there's another scene later on in the episode where he, like, he's getting paid to go to this party. There's this giant rich South African guy. We missed why. Oh, because he's a fan of young Larry. Right. So he wanted Larry and this girl to, like, come to his party, and he paid megabucks for them to come. And then when he gets there, he, like, gets introduced to his wife, who's called, was it Beck?
I don't know. Is it important to the part of the story?
Yes, because her name's Beck and he calls her Becky.
Brookie.
Yeah. So her name's Brooke, but her close friends call her Brookie. And for some reason, the husband tells Larry that. And then Larry's like, "Oh, Brookie." So he starts calling her Brookie, and then the husband and Brooke are like, "You can't call me that. Only close friends call me that." But then some other rando who's met her once calls her Brookie, and she's like, cool with it.
Yeah, but that's
and then he gets really upset about that. And I'm on Larry's side, because as someone who gets instantly called Damo by every fucking person that he meets, I've never gatekept that. by going, oh, no, actually only my close friends can call me Damo. You know what I mean? To you, it's Damien. So I agree with Larry. It's like, of course, what fucking difference does it make? He should be able to call her fucking Brookie as much as he wants.
I was just looking up because I couldn't remember why the chick Maria Sophia was cast. And it was because last season someone tried to break into Larry's house and they tripped and fell and drowned in Larry's pool.
Yes.
And then Larry got in trouble because he didn't have a fence.
Right.
And so it was the brother of the guy who died. He's like, I'll sue you for not having the fence. And it'll cost Larry millions of dollars, even though the guy was breaking into his house.
Mm.
If I'll sue you if you don't cast my daughter in. She wants to be an actress. And that's why.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. It was the extortion part. That's good. That's good. Which is why he's like, but also it was like, oh, this show won't work. And just the first episode is just like her and Kimmel. She's a star. She's on the front cover of magazines. And she's like, and then in like her interview with Kimmel, they're like, so, you know, how you just take it so well. You're just so good at this character. You know, how do you learn all those lines? And she's like, well, you know, they give us a script and we just kind of base it. You know, dialogue, but I generally make up all my own lines and I just, you know, I make it funnier. And Larry, the writer, is just like his face where you're like, this fucking asshole. Mm. He's like, I make it funnier, don't I? And everyone's like, yay. Dude, four grumps, mate. I'm on board.
Yeah, Larry is.
I just don't want Cheryl to come back because she sucks.
Well, just to finish that point, like, I think Larry is relatable in a lot of occasions. I don't think he, like, for me, watching it, there's in most situations, I agree with Larry. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, he's right. There's so many situations where people are being complete assholes or insane, and he calls it out. And I don't think that's being the bad guy.
But then he doesn't call out other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, well, why isn't he calling out this other? Why did he let this rando? But I guess if he didn't, there would not be a TV show.
Yeah. I mean, like, the whole premise of this episode is, like, why is he going to a party to get paid? He would have been paid, like, 50K or something like that. He's a trillionaire. Like, why would he bother going all the way to this party just to get paid a pittance for him, you know? Like,
yeah, I found, like, I found that weird because I feel like he's a millionaire.
Yeah, like, so the fact that, like, he's doing something for money and then later in the episode he's chasing up money. Like, Larry's character's always kind of been tight throughout the whole series, so, like, you can kind of write it away as that.
Could have been $1 million, though. I mean, I don't know. If you've got $50 million in the bank, would you still go to someone's house for a party if they paid for the, you know, put you up in the Grand Hyatt, paid for your airfare first class?
No.
And gave you $1 million?
No. Fuck no. Especially if I've got a hit TV show on TV and I'm making money through that. No.
Right.
A stranger's house. Well,
you know what? I think also the thing was.
Do you even
was that
know me? We're getting married in 6 weeks. Do you even know me?
Listen, I think the thing was as well is because he was African and he was like, oh, well, it's this. And I think he was
saying
that's
true.
They
thought it was like an African charity or something.
Yeah, and he was going to donate a bunch of money to charity and blah, blah, blah. And then when he got there, it was a white South African.
Yeah.
And he was like, I would have done it if I knew he was white.
I am African. I'm from South Africa.
Yeah. Anyway, I gave it 4 grumps, baby. What about you?
This is tough because, like, overall, over the course of 12 seasons, you'd have to go close to giving it 5 grumps, right? Because it's one of my, like, I would say, when we first met each other, I was like, my favorite TV shows are Seinfeld and Curb, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think one of our first riffs was on a Curb episode.
Yeah, because we were talking about the episode where Larry's lawyer had his own private bathroom.
And Larry was infuriated that he could not use his lawyer's toilet.
Yeah.
Even after his lawyer was like, I'm the only one who uses my bathroom. There's other bathrooms down the hall. They're just as nice.
And I agreed with Larry. And
no,
you,
and no, I
you,
don't.
You were so
no, if I have my
so
own
angry
toilet, that's my toilet. You, that's like when Jamie, like, tries to fucking go after Jimmy to establish dominance. It's bullshit.
No, it's you're already in the office and you need to piss. Can I please use the toilet? He didn't just go in and use it. He asked first. They said no, and then Larry used
it.
So
he disrespected him after he was told no, and
because it's
still used
bullshit.
It. So he's not listening to other people's, like, requests.
Yeah, because the request is petty and bullshit.
No, No. It using is. His toilet is petty and bullshit.
It's the 1% gatekeeping resources. Think.
Double nine, anyway.
I'm going to give this episode 3.5 grumps. Yeah. It made me laugh a lot. I enjoyed it, even though there were a few things about the structure of the plot that I was like, ah, yeah. But overall, Curb is, you know, one of the greatest comedies.
Yeah, I just didn't give it 5 because half a point they lost because Cheryl fucking sucks. Even if she wasn't marrying a Looney Tune, the idea of her character in the story is she just plays – it's maybe they write it this way, but she's always just dumb. Larry, come on. Like, what are you saying? And it's always her being really selfish or – I just don't like the character. I think she fucking sucks.
She's insanely selfish.
She's awful. She's worse than him. She's horrible. And the way they paint the show.
Susie comes across as a better and nicer person than Cheryl.
Yeah, 100%. And I'd much rather have scenes with Susie, anyone he plays golf with, the golf club, Jeff.
The golf guys.
Fucking JB.
Vince Vaughn is great.
Richard Lewis. I don't give a fuck. Richard Lewis. I don't give a fuck. But
Richard and Larry's conversations.
Dude, everything about Cheryl sucks, and it's the worst thing about the show. That's why it lost half a point. And it lost half a point because I felt like him getting arrested at the end, I felt like that was unnecessary. It could have just ended with the chick throwing out his clothes on the balcony.
Oh, yeah, because JB Smooth's – is it JB Smooth's mum
or his auntie?
Something? She's waiting to vote, and then Larry gives her a bottle of water and gets arrested for that because you can't give food or water to people in a voting line in Georgia, which I think is actually a real law.
I think it would be a real law if they did it, which is crazy.
I think it genuinely is. I remember hearing a news story about it, which means that maybe this season will be set in Georgia.
Don't know, but anyway.
This episode 3.5 grumps, but overall 5 grumps. You know, it's Curb.
Yeah, I think it's good, Ben. I think it's good. I'm gonna keep watching. I think it's good, but that's it.
That's it.
We did a good job.
What else do you want from us?
Oh, I need to have a cough of yawning, which makes me think that I take my Ritalin, but I'm pretty sure I did.
It's one of the great unsolved mysteries of the universe, bub. Has Kelly taken her Ritalin? Thank you for listening, guys. We love the support. It's really nice when we put the episode up to come back a week later and be like, oh, my God, a whole bunch of people listen to this. It's really nice. So we love you. I love you, baby.
And I love you, baby.
And if I spoke to you in an inappropriate tone, I apologize. I apologize and I'll work to get better and be a better human.
Oh, darling. Okay.
But I love you.
I love you very much. Thank you very much. I love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.